Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to another service here at Unity Center of Light, from our home to your home. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pamela Mosby.
And we always want to remind you to join us in Zoom right after this. We're going to have great music, discussion about the lesson, or you know, other topics that might come up that you want to talk about, and just have some great fellowship. So please join us in that. You can find the links to it in your e-newsletter or your weekly update. Right now, we're going to get started with Pamela.
Thanks. Good morning, Unity family, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us, far greater than anything that exists outside of us. Now let's affirm our foundation statement. Together, there is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the good, omnipotent. Amen. And now we have the daily word reading for today, Sunday, February the 13th. The key word is compassionate. The affirmation is, I am a compassionate presence. In periods of peaceful contemplation, I immerse myself in the unconditional love that joins the human family together in God. As the awareness of divine love fills my mind and heart, it dissolves all memories of difficulties and feelings of discord. Centered in divine love, I deeply feel my oneness with God and with all people. I now see the people in my life anew. Beholding the divinity of each dear one I meet, my heart overflows with empathy as I respond to their troubles and celebrate their triumphs. I am patient. I listen with intention. I recognize their divinity as I recognize my own. I welcome the flow of divine love as it blesses me, as well as those with whom I am sharing my compassion. And the scripture reading is taken from Leviticus 19:18, and it reads, "You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." Amen. And now we will have the Sunday message with Reverend Butch.
Thanks, hon. And again, the daily word with leading right into what we're going to be talking about today. This is part five of Grasping Truth at Its Root. And, you know, the reason why this study about truth is so important is because it's the basis for creating the mental, emotional impetus for to be able to apply these spiritual principles in the midst of life's challenges. And that, you know, kind of was what the Daily Word was talking about. So it's about our spiritual survival, you know, as we go through all of these interesting times we're going through now. It's all about understanding that we're living in, breathing in the power and presence that, you know, can supply us, protect us, comfort us, heal us, make us whole. But we must become aware of it, aware to the point that it is our first awareness, right? Not, you know, after we've had a reaction to what's going on. We want our first awareness to know that we're in this power and presence. So when Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you, you'll find that in the King James Version, or the kingdom of God is in the midst of you, that's in the NIV Version. It was to help us to understand that we're living, moving, and having our being in the very truth that we've been searching for. We are in the truth, and the truth is within us. And we are in divine consciousness, and divine consciousness is within us. That's a great affirmation. I am in divine consciousness, and divine consciousness is within me. Say it with me. I am in divine consciousness, and divine consciousness is within me. So being able to grasp this truth opens us up to the source of all we need. But we have to know, really know, that we're always in the source, and the source is always within us. And I think that many of us have found that the pursuit of the knowledge of truth can be an endless journey. You know, we come to this virtual Sunday service, we take classes, we read all the books, trying to grasp and understand the knowledge we call truth. But as we talked about last week's lesson, truth is revealed when we consciously apply it to our lives, or apply to our lives what it is that we do know about truth. So let me say that again. So truth is revealed when we consciously apply to our lives what we do know about truth. Okay, so, you know, we're trying to find like all the truth, but just whatever truth we know, it becomes more revealed when we apply it to our lives. So it's from the application of what we do know about truth that we begin to come into the light. And that's what this talk is going to be a lot about, this idea of coming into the light. And these series of lessons, as they are being presented, are trying to help us understand how we can be the light in the darkness of the human experience. Okay, and we're going to look at a Bible verse that talks about that in a minute. So we want to learn how to be the light in the darkness of the human experience. And this is very much needed now more than ever. I mean, people are hurting right now. And the people are being hurt. Children are hurting right now. And children are being hurt. If you've been watching the news, you know that the proof of this is in all the shootings, stealings, suicides, political strife, you know, delusions about what is true and what is not, and who is right and who is not, which lead to expressions of hatred. Folks are lashing out. So learning to live in the light in the midst of the darkness occurring in the human experience is a culmination of truth. Meaning living in the light is the climactic point of understanding how truth works in our lives and why it's important that we learn to live in it and from it. So the revealing word explains that light is the understanding principle in our minds. Light is the understanding principle in our minds. So when we are seeing or experiencing something that we don't understand, it's an indication that we're not availing ourselves of the principle of light, the divine light within us. And as Scripture explains, when we're not in the light, we're in the darkness. Now just think about that for a minute. Think about some of the things that are disturbing you right now. And you're just wondering, why is this happening? Okay? It's like, again, if you're not in the light, you're in the darkness. Meaning not knowing or understanding, okay? And this is usually a very upsetting place for many of us to be. So when we find ourselves in that upsetting place, remember, I keep saying every week that it's legitimate, it's justifiable when we find ourselves in that despair, okay? But being in that despair is also being in the darkness, which is keeping us from receiving divine understanding and divine comfort, okay? And again, this is usually a very unsettling place for us to be. Now I'm going to read a scripture to you, John 3:19-21. Before I get into this scripture, I want to say what I've always say about some of these scriptures. They're very brutal in the way that they express an idea. But we're going to break this down so we have a better understanding of what it's trying to say. So listen to how it starts. This is the verdict, okay? Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Okay. Now again, as I just shared, when you read scripture, without metaphysical interpretation and explanation, it can often sound brutal. So we'll expand, you know, upon this reading as we move through this lesson. Also, as we talked about in last week's lesson, we have the power to choose light over darkness. Remember we talked about that last week? We have the power to choose light over darkness, to choose love over hatred, to choose courage over fear. But I agree that in many cases, it's not the easiest choice to make. But the fact that we now know the truth is available to us, and the choice is ours to make, and we have the power to make different choices, makes it far more feasible for us to choose the light over the darkness, to choose love over fear, to choose understanding over confusion. But this is not to say that we haven't always known that this choice has been available to us. I'm not saying that. I think many of us have known that this choice has always been available to us, because we have, you know, but different life circumstances has caused each of us to make choices that cause different kinds of things to happen. Make choices that what Scripture just called evil or darkness, meaning the choices we made were not of love, of courage, wisdom, and understanding. But it's important to acknowledge that the choices we have made before our knowledge of truth were legitimate in our previous state of consciousness. I hope that just made sense. But now that we know that we live and breathe and have our being in the light, regardless of whether or not we choose to acknowledge it, puts us in a different frame of mind. And to make it even more interesting from a metaphysical perspective, the law of divine order, the law of divine order causes light to enter into our consciousness first before our own perspective flares up. And let me say that again. The law of divine order, because of the way the law works, it causes light to enter into our consciousness first before our own perspective flares up. But as the Scripture explained, before we knew about the divine wonders of truth and the miraculous impact that it could have on our lives, we didn't have the in-depth understanding of how to recognize this light entering into our consciousness first, let alone choose it. Do you get what I'm saying? So let me just say it again. Light, understanding, always enters into our consciousness first. But if we don't have the in-depth understanding of how to recognize that light has come in and choose it, then what's going to happen, our normal way of reacting to the world is going to flare up. But now that we know the truth, we can, if we choose, allow truth to complete and fulfill a divine cycle in every aspect of our lives. Now, let me say that again. Now that we know the truth, we can, if we choose, allow truth to complete and fulfill a divine cycle in every aspect of our lives. Meaning when we consciously let truth in, it does a complete cycle to convert any darkness in our mind, body, and heart into the healing light of spirit. Okay? So yeah, our stuff flares up in us, but when we let truth in, it's going to do a complete cycle to convert any darkness in our mind, body, and heart into the healing light of spirit. And all we had to do was acknowledge its presence and let it do its thing. Okay? Now, another affirmation that I write in my gratitude journal, you know, I share these with you every now and then, is this one. It says, I am grateful divine light, life is filling me now, healing, restoring, and making me whole. I'll say it again for those who are trying to write it. I am grateful. Divine life is filling me now, healing, restoring, and making me whole. So the basis for this affirmation is that I'm giving thanks for a consciousness of knowing that Spirit is working just as Spirit always is working, healing me of any darkness within me that is not loving or that is fearful in any way. And I'm asking to be restored back into the light, back into a place where I am continuously aware of the power and presence of God in my life. So for me, this acknowledgement request, it's kind of both of them, acknowledgement and request, is necessary because in living my life, I'm constantly confronted with events and circumstances that pull me into the darkness. And I don't know how many of you can relate to what I'm saying, but I have to guess that there are some of you who, you know, can relate to what I'm saying. And you have these experiences that pulls you into the darkness. And so there's some kind of exercise, truth exercise, hopefully you develop for yourself, that pulls you back into the light. So our work as true students is to constantly do the work to remain in the light and to be the light for those in our lives. Now, as we read, now let me say that again. So our work is not only to be to remain in the light, but to be the light for those in our lives. Now, as we read in Isaiah 55:11, it says, "So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth." Okay, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish its purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Okay? Now, what's interesting about this verse is that what it says is true. Whether you send out your word or thought, word, or action from the divine light of your mind and heart, or you might have sent it out from the darkness of your mind and heart, okay? Whichever you do, your thought, word, and action will usually accomplish their purpose. They will either lift up or they will tear down according to their nature. That's why our Amalia, our thoughts are prayers, and we are always praying. So you got to be careful. We have to be careful about our thoughts, our words, and our actions, because when we send them out, they are going to do their purpose. Okay? They're not going to come back empty. So we will always want to be sending out our thoughts, words, and actions from the viewpoint of light. So this is why before we speak or act, we should take a moment to check ourselves and determine what is going on within us. What's going on within me? Am I filled with light or am I filled with darkness? And in those times when you find yourself filled with darkness, because it will happen, it'll happen. You know, we are all knowledgeable enough and experienced enough to ask ourselves honestly, do I prefer to send out darkness or light? Okay. And this may sound like a silly question, but as the scripture said, this is the verdict. That's how it starts. This is the verdict. Okay. In other words, some judgment has been done, and this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Meaning there are things we will hold on to, seemingly just not being able to let go of. And again, I use the word legitimate meaning that we have truly justifiable reasons for, from a human perspective, for just not feeling able sometimes to let go of the darkness within us. Okay? And notice I said legitimate and justifiable from a human perspective. So it is not that we actually love the darkness, as it says in Scripture, okay, or the deeds that are evil, okay, and evil, you know, the strict meaning of the word, you know, as is described in Scripture, you know, I don't believe that most of us have that within us, okay, but we do have things that cause us to have this darkness within us. So it's really more of a, this one, you know, when you feel that darkness come up, what the Bible might be called evil, you know, lack of love and fear and so forth. When you feel that come up, I think it's more of a self-indicator, letting us know emotionally where we are right now. So when it comes up, you find, you say, am I in the darkness or am I in the light? Okay, so that emotional thing that comes up is letting you, is an indicator. And it's a good thing because now you can acknowledge, say, wow, this is where I am. And if it has to do with the darkness, you know what to do to work with that. And this is important because knowledge is one thing when you're striving for a spiritual approach to life. Now, let me say this again. Knowledge is one thing when you're striving for a spiritual approach to life. But emotions are far, far more impactful indicator as to where you are spiritually. So our emotions often drive our reactions. For example, when you first heard the scripture, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world. But people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. What was your reaction? Now, the reason I ask this question is because our reactions are important. They are clues as to where we are really in our emotional consciousness. So let me say it again. Our emotional reactions are clues to where we are in our emotional consciousness, especially emotional states of consciousness where we may not even be aware of. Okay? Now, all we know is that when things are going great in our life, we're great. And may possibly feel that we've got this whole spiritual, thing down. We got it tackled. We got it down pat. All right? Because we're feeling great. Everything is great. So when things come up that shake us to our core, we want to take time to try to understand, what is it all about in this circumstance, this event, or disturbing information that caused my light to go dim a little bit? Did you hear what I'm saying? So when that's, something comes up and you go, wow, that hurt me emotionally, maybe even physically. And you just want to, ask yourself, what is it about what just happened that might have caused my light to become a little bit more dim? Okay. So again, I say our reactions are important part of our spiritual journey. Our reactions, our emotional reactions are an important part of our spiritual journey. So this is not about not being emotional, not having reactions. It's about paying attention to those emotional reactions and understanding that they're part of your spiritual journey. Our work is to pay attention to our feelings, emotions, and reactions in an attempt to uncover those emotional buttons. Okay? Now, this is the purpose of the prayer. Many of you who have been around a long time remember this prayer. Holy Spirit, into thy hands I commit my spirit, soul, mind, and body. Reveal in me that which needs to be revealed. And then the divine action you are asking for, Spirit, which is heal in me that which needs to be healed. And your acknowledgement of how willing you are to be healed by proclaiming, heal me deeply. And then the gratitude part of the prayer, I am grateful it is done. Okay? And many of you know that prayer because you've been around a long time and I used to say that all the time. Okay? And then it's not so much that you just keep saying this prayer over and over and over again. Okay? Now, there's nothing wrong with saying it over and over again. When I first learned the prayer, I stated it over and over again. In my meditations, I just concentrated on that prayer. But it's not so much about that. It's more that you want this request for healing to become the atmosphere of your mind, okay? So that all of your thoughts are being constantly cleansed by Spirit. Let me say it again, okay? Whatever affirmation you're using or prayer that you're using, you want that prayer or affirmation to actually become the atmosphere of your mind. In other words, this is the way you think. Moving into that state of consciousness, what happens, all your thoughts then will be constantly cleansed by Spirit, okay? So when you can continuously focus on the light, you will experience, you might have negative thoughts, okay? But you'll be divinely cleansed throughout because you have developed this sort of internal atmosphere of light. So that when darkness enters, when negative thoughts enter, they're constantly being cleansed by Spirit. It's like you're running your thoughts through the affirmation washing machine, if you think about that, okay? Because, yes, we are going to have negative thoughts, but when you develop this internal dynamic of, spiritual thought, what happens is those negative dark thoughts that come in, those quote-unquote, as Scripture calls them, evil thoughts that come in, they're moving through the cleansing light of Spirit. So let's take this another step in understanding how to use truth statements to fire up the light within us. Okay? So many of us have formulated a truth principle into an affirmation that we use to affect change in certain aspects of our life circumstances, whether it is our relationships or our finances or our employment, our health, or whatever it is. The practical, process we formulate truth and we form these affirmations. And, especially if you've been in the study of new thought for a long time, you have typically affirmations for each part of your life. And then you repeat the affirmation, hoping that eventually something miraculous will happen, okay? For example, here's one of the many that we can all probably relate to, okay? And you might have said this in one way or another. I raise my thinking to know God as a source of all good. I release the illusion of lack and limitation and awaken to the truth that I am abundantly supplied. And I'm willing to bet you have used or are using that affirmation in some form. So lack and limitation in this affirmation is being used in a very broad scope, very broad sense. It applies to whatever you may feel that you need, that you're lacking in or limited by, whether it's health, again, employment, happy relationships, peace of mind. We could continue endlessly with, you know, where you might want to apply this affirmation. But this affirmation is a true acknowledgement of God as a source of all good. It also acknowledges that I understand that when I am experiencing lack of any kind, it means that somehow I took my focus off of the source that God is and placed it on the appearance of lack or limitation in my life. Okay? So the experience of lack, whatever that is for us, means that we have consciously or unconsciously given the appearance of lack more power than God in the atmosphere of our thinking. Okay? So this affirmation is declaring that I want to believe that God, the source, always remains true regardless of what I think I am experiencing. And that's the key to God as a source of my supply. We want to get into our mind that God is a source of whatever it is we need, and that always remains true regardless of what I think I am experiencing. Now, the key is that is always true. God is always the source regardless of what I think I'm experiencing. However, what we need to consider when using an affirmation is whether or not the affirmation is true or not. We have to ask ourselves, is this affirmation finding a permanent home in my mind? That's what I'm trying to get to. Is this affirmation I'm using finding a permanent home in my consciousness? Is it a truth that we have been willing to stand up for in every circumstance or situation that occurred in our lives? That's where you begin to know that the affirmation is creating a permanent home in your mind, is when stuff comes up that you would normally have a negative reaction to, that would normally cause darkness within you, is that it does not, because the affirmation has taken up permanent residence within you. I hope that makes sense, okay? So it's the idea where the affirmation has taken up permanent residence within you. So no matter what happens, that affirmation stays strong. And I think that for the most part, we do believe in the truth that we affirm, at least to some degree. But the real test is when the pressures of life come down on us. Can we stand firm and walk in that truth? Can I walk in my truth? Okay. So it is our spiritual goal to know, use, and walk in the power and presence of truth, regardless of the peace-threatening challenges that move in and out of our lives. And if we are persistent in our prayer and affirmation way of living, we will reach a point where we stop affirming and actually become the affirmation. Okay? And it's interesting because there are other types of affirmations we've used dealing with the secular world that have actually become a permanent part of our being. But what we're looking at is using truth, the affirming of truth, and actually becoming that truth. We will shift from knowing the truth to actually becoming the truth. And at some point, we will find ourselves living completely in the presence of God. And that's where we want to get to. Getting to the point where we live completely in the presence of God. So I'm going to end with a quote from Howard Washington Thurman, African-American author, philosopher, theologian, educator, and civil rights leader, who lived from, he was born in November 18th, 1899, and he lived to April 10th, 1981. And he gives us these words of hope for humanity. He says, listen to the long stillness. New life is stirring. New dreams are on the wing. New hopes are being readied. Humanity is fashioning a new heart. I love that. Humanity is forging a new mind. God is at work. This is a season of promise. And I leave you with this affirmation to work with this week. Right? And it says, oh, move that forward for me, sweetie. Thanks. It says, I lovingly surrender to the reciprocating intimacy. I lovingly surrender to the reciprocating intimacy with the loving, living, loving Christ. And I journey through this life, as I journey through this life experience. And so it is. Amen. And now we will have meditation with Pamela.
Beautiful message, hon. Thank you for that. Unity family, let's take in a deep breath and exhale fully. Pay attention to the inflow and the outflow as you breathe in again and release the breath. You may gently close your eyes or take a downward gaze. During the next few moments, I ask you now to make a connection with your heart center. This is the symbolic center of love that is the true nature of who we all are. Love is the great harmonizer and presence that stands under all and flows through everything and everyone and is all. So for a moment, silently affirm to yourself, I am love. I am love. I am love. And please take the following words as your very own. Gracious Spirit within me, from this place of deep truth and knowing that the love that is God, that is the Christ consciousness of who I am, that is my inherent place of being, guides and directs my thoughts, my words, and my actions. I allow this to be my anchor, to which I return in every moment of every day. I am love. Let us prepare for the secret place of the Most High with our love centers filled to overflowing with the blessings of divine love. Use this time to pray, receive answers to your prayers, and to be still. Holy Spirit, we are channels of your love to the world. We step forth this day filled with your teachings of how to treat our fellow human beings and ourselves. We are to love ourselves fully so we may love others fully to see the divine in everyone. And so in the name and nature of our elder brother and wayshower, Jesus the Christ, we do give thanks, and so it is. Amen. Come back to your surroundings slowly. When you are ready, open your eyes.
again. So, this is the time we open our hearts and minds to allow some of the treasure that flows into our personal life to also flow into our spiritual home. And we truly give thanks for all the wonderful donations that you've been sending to Unity Center of Light. So we ask you to hold your offering in your hand, in your heart, in your spirit, as we say our offering blessing together. We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light. Amen. All right, and now we have light notes.
So we have light notes for today. February 26th is going to be our next connection event. So all those that would like to can meet us over at the church building and pick up your Lent booklets and say a safe hello to your Unity friends. Our annual membership meeting is coming on Sunday, March the 13th at 1 p.m. All are invited. Only members may vote. On Sunday, March 20th, Janelle Renshaw will be our guest speaker. Janelle is the Eastern Region Youth Consultant and a licensed Unity teacher. She has been on many Zoom sessions with us, and we look forward to having her speak for us. The next Women of Unity event will be a visioning board session. We will meet virtually on Saturday, March the 26th from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. Information about what you will need to have ready is in your updates and e-newsletter, and a Zoom link will be posted closer to the date. This will be an accelerated activity, so it's important that you have all your materials on hand by 3 p.m. when we begin. For more information on all these events, please check your e-newsletter and weekly updates. And if you do not receive our newsletter and update and you would like to, please put your email info into the chat and we will add you to the mailing list. If you don't have email, we'll put it in the snail mail. Happy Valentine's Day tomorrow.
All right. This is a time for you know what.
We bless the path that we'll walk this week, and we're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal and gusto. I go forward in the spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous, and I am grateful.
All right. So it's, now we're going to do our prayer for protection. Okay, let's do that together.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine. And all is well, and that's the truth.
All right, it's been our pleasure to bring you this service today, and we hope to see you in the Zoom.
Yes.
If we don't, have a happy Valentine's Day, and have a wonderful week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.